1380 WPHM, Caleb in for Paul. Good Wednesday morning. And Paul will be back tomorrow, by the way. Hey, this has become kind of a regular segment here. When I fill in for Paul, I invite my good friend Dave Ackerley, host of the 1320 WILS Morning Wake Up in Michigan's capital city of Lansing, to come on and chat about state politics, national politics, and whatever. So, well, here he is again, Dave Ackerley. You're becoming a regular on WPHM.
Golly, Caleb, you've got to expand your contacts list. I'm doing very well. Thank you, Caleb, for the invite to join you for some Blue Water fun once again.
So when we get you on, we usually talk about MSU, so let's just start off there. Couple weeks back now, we have, Samuel Stanley?
Well, I mean, if you want to go by everything we get, Samuel L. Stanley.
Dr. Like Samuel L. Stanley.
Yeah, doctor, right, exactly.
Is our new...
Jackson, but he's the new president.
Of Michigan State University. What a long process here. Can you just take us back in time a little bit, Dave, and how this all kind of came to be? I mean, it's been about 2 years in the process now.
Well, it just seemed like right after the dinosaur era is when it began. It was so long. I mean, it was one of our criticisms about it, and I know they say, well, we want to get the right person, but it really did drag on and on and on. They had every kind of campus, encounter group known to man. And then when they finally hired him, it's interesting because all the things we were hearing it was that it would be, again, likely a female president and highly likely a female president of color. And I don't think Samuel Stanley checks any of those boxes.
No, that surprised me, and I think most people in the media. And actually, speaking to, I got to spend some time with MSU trustee Diane Byram on the porch of the Grand Hotel the other week.
Yep.
And speaking to her, she was a little surprised, too.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, she's ultimately the head of the board, and if the board is ever surprised by these kind of things, that's a bit of a red flag, if you know what I mean. We've just gone through a lot of that.
Well,
but I get where you're going with it. The long and short of it is that he does come. MSU, it should be one of the greatest presidential academic jobs in the country, and normally it is, but it's been battered by this, and to get someone with deep experience running a fairly large university, and whether people know a lot about Stony Brook or not, it's no Podunk campus. It's very close to New York City. It's relatively new, and it's 60 years old. That's new in university land. And it's very well thought of with research under the state university system of the state of New York. So he comes in with some definite pluses. But he's older. I mean, he's going to be 70 before you know it. So is he a long-term fix for MSU? I would tend to think no. But, instead of maybe being Mr. Right, he's Mr. Right Now, right here, and available, wanted to take the job, speaks well, and there it is. How many others who would have been really solid for this, given different circumstances, maybe just the retirement of Luana K. Simon? I think that would have perhaps been a very different list, Caleb.
Yeah, and basically what I was hearing from some of the decision makers in the process is that he had a very strong resume, and that's what gave him the edge over some of the other, maybe non-traditional, if I would say, candidates.
Well, there clearly were some, and they were told to look at non-traditional. I think their interim, with John Engler, was in a way non-traditional,
yeah,
the former governor, but it didn't end well at all, which in a way is a shame because I think early on he was doing – my criticism with this board here, and I've laid it out on the air many times, and I know that you've had Hondo Carpenter on before and covers the sports angle here, and he's much more strident about it than me, is that they tend to have a heavy input until they don't. Then they walk away from things.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted somebody just over a year ago who was really going to, defend the university, to go on the front foot, to be maybe a little bit aggressive because the school was getting hammered from all sides, and until they found that that isn't the tone that people wanted, and then they, you know, John Engler, you're on your own.
Yeah,
that's a tricky place to be, and I think maybe some applicants looked at that too. I mean, yeah, whenever you're going for a job, Caleb, you know, I'm going to get this. What happened to the last person who had that job? Well, this. As they were treated, so you can be treated too. And I think people look at that very carefully, very carefully.
Yeah, and just to circle back, mentioning John Engler, I always viewed him as bringing him in to smooth things over with the legislature, because we remember what happened in the fallout, the whole Nassar thing. He needed someone with a little legislative experience there. Do we get this from Dr. Stanley?
Well, I don't think so, not the same way. But certainly with his background, I think with his scientific career, he's going to, let's put it this way, there's some different constituencies, and one of those John Engler ruffled feathers immediately was with the faculty and academics of MSU. They weren't happy with his hire. Broadly, they weren't happy at all. And if he wasn't going to win every friend in the legislature, which he didn't, he certainly got pretty much none from the staff and faculty of MSU, other than some people he handpicked as interim president. So I think that this president will be able to go a long way. He's got the right kind of scientific, I guess the background, what's my wording here? Because I'm mixing it up. He fits good with a land-grant school, okay? When I look at his biological science background and with genomes and other things that maybe aren't traditional, he's a doctor, but there's aspects of his background that aren't, you know, necessarily traditional medicine that would branch off into some of the heavy research that MSU does in the sciences. And as you know, being a graduate, does really well.
Yeah,
I think that that's going to be a big plus for him. He can speak the language of academia and speak it well as a high achiever there. And that will smooth over a major constituency that was never going to be happy with John Engler and wasn't happy at the end with Luana K. Simon either, who is, you know, herself currently standing in a pretrial in Eaton County. A very, very, a very convoluted situation is still convoluted here. Is he the right person? We'll see.
Yeah, time will tell, Dave.
It will.
Let's move on to another thing, actually, talking about the island, you know, catching up with some of the MSU board people up there. But something pretty historic happened that was a no-fault auto insurance reform. Is this actually a substantial reform, Dave? Because it's not nearly goes as far as many wished it would.
No, but it... But anything, well, I've got to be careful how I put that. You know, some would say anything is better than nothing, and that isn't always true.
Yeah.
But this could be substantial. It's going to depend. I mean, you know, if you're a person who carries a healthy health insurance policy already, maybe through your employer, there's a chance you're going to save some substantial bucks with this. If you're not, there could be some people where there could be a slight creep up, depending on, you know, your personal situation with work, your health care coverage and whatnot. But our state was so bad in terms of this big dollar figure, and it's hard to not be affected by the compelling cases you hear of people who you know are going to need care for the rest of their lives. But when you compare that number to the total number of people driving out there, do you want that, you know, for that chance that you might have to be one of those folks? Are you willing to pay this much more per year? A lot of people say, no, I'm not. I absolutely don't want to do it.
And I like the idea of having that choice. Just like any other type of insurance, you make the choice.
Well, I love having an option, too. I mean, that's the American way. We weren't given an option. When I first moved here, I was you know, from the West Coast. It's been, you know, more than 25 years, but I was aghast, and the prices have only gone up since then. I said, my goodness, I have a perfect driving record. How much is my premium? And they said, well, but you get something with that if you ever need it. Okay, but what if I don't? Do I get it back? No. So, you know, it is what it is. I usually judge stuff here, Caleb, in the Capitol by if there's people on one side of the issue who are unhappy and people on the other side who are unhappy, you might have actually done the only thing you could do to push something through. And we kind of saw that here.
It's a compromise.
I mean, yeah, the trial lawyers are ticked. The hospitals, they're not happy. The insurance, they didn't like that gap in, you know, from the immediate effect to when the real effect takes place. And then what happens with their fees? And what do they do there? And are people going to see their coverage go down and their price go up for a year? They weren't happy. So, and it happened quick, but it didn't happen quick. It's been brewing for decades. And that was disingenuous when people say, oh, it happened so fast. Yeah, but the tenets of this have been knocked around by term-limited legislatures for so long. So don't act like you haven't heard of it coming down the pike. Everybody, there's nothing in this that's a surprise. That's true. Nothing. Nothing in there that's a surprise. And Democrats got things that they wanted, too, with items like, you know, your zip code being taken off and your credit rating, other things. They had things that they wanted that they thought would make a real difference in the lives of low-income people in Michigan who didn't live in the right neighborhood. And they got those. So there's something for everybody to like and maybe dislike, too, in this bill. So it sounds like that's the way sausage gets made.
What about this this other sausage here that we call the roads? What about that?
Well, I'm excited that my son is coming back to Michigan here this week to help us fix the darn roads. And that's a lot of fun. But, you know, certainly, I mean, he's an engineer, and the engineer's going to have to get to work. But where's the money going to come from? And will the funding mechanism and formula stay the same for a lot of places? The counties have, you know, those folks have lobbied me, the county road people. I mean, they want to see changes made, not just short-term, but how we look at this long-term.
It's from driving out there around this area, and I know the Lansing area is just as bad, if not worse. It's not the MDOT roads that are the problem. It's the county and city streets that are really...
So now you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
If you don't change... the House bill that went through, you know, will that be the final version? Probably not. But the House bill that goes through changes, you know, pulls the sales tax. Now all of a sudden you got $380 million that could go back into the county system. Well, there's a start. But what about the details on how that can be used and when can it be used? Mm-hmm. What's the time frame here? We've deferred maintenance, for lack of a better term, for so darn long. And what about our bridges? I mean, the governor's hammering on that.
Hey, I got a bridge in Port Huron I can sell you.
I like that bridge. I'll just go find an ATM. I'll be right back. I don't know if that's the right answer. It certainly has been brought up, but as you know, living there in Port Huron, I mean, it's an iconic figure. But I said, where does it stop? That's a one-time deal.
Exactly.
So you sell the bridge, you get one-time money. Well, what about later? And then if you sell that, well, why not sell the Mackinac Bridge? Well, wow, that's ridiculous. Is it? If you can sell the Blue Water Bridge and put a dollar figure on it, why can't you do the Mackinac Bridge?
And why did us voters approve the, you know, creation of the new publicly funded Detroit River Crossing? Why didn't we just give that money to Maroon instead?
Well, the first thing I thought is, why don't we just sell the bridge before it gets built? And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, Canada is building that.
Yeah.
We can't sell it because they've already put some... Oops. You're right. The Maroon thing is a cautionary tale because it's been in private hands since forever. And it's been used as, at times, leverage and frankly, almost extortion forever. I mean, you know where this can go. But here's one thing I do agree with. Find out what it's worth. Put an asset price. There's nothing wrong with that. At least then you know what you have. Doesn't mean you have to sell it. But if somebody was buying, what would they pay? What's fair market value for a bridge to Sarnia?
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's a good idea to sell the bridge on an international, highly secured corridor like the Blue Water. But I'm not the one deciding, and I at least would like to know if it was open to a market bid. What would it be worth? At least you can, that gives you an idea going forward. It doesn't mean you sell it, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
people are against even that.
We'll see. I'm interested to know as well. And real quick here, as we finish up, wrap up the last couple of minutes of our interview, Dave, we're looking ahead to 2012. We already heard the announcement from John James last week that he's going to run for Senate up against Gary Peters.
Now you mean 2020, Caleb? You mean
did I say 2012? I'm sorry. I'm living in the past here, Dave.
Mitt Romney says, vote for me.
2020, we've got a already heated race for U.S. Senate. We've got how many Democrats running for president? I mean, what is this election going to shape up to look like?
Well, on the Senate side, it's a little odd. I mean, it was, I think, a strange rollout for John James. I mean, on Fox and Friends, and then he pretty much declined all kinds of in-state media, says he's going to go back to doing his work. I think it was to clear the field. He lays a marker out there in the, it's like me when I used to put a quarter on the asteroids machine. It meant I got next game and everyone stay away. But, you know, whether they do or not remains to be, it probably will work. I don't see anybody else getting in that race. And I also think Gary Peters is going to be more formidable than the GOP is painting him on social media and other places. It should be an interesting race. That's for the Dems,
yeah.
President 2020.
Who's your choice? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I'm not voting on it right now, but I would say I've been surprised at some of the recent missteps by Vice President Biden, in the sense that he was going his own way, and then has now seemed like he's tacked back and pandered on a couple of issues. Because that just looks disingenuous. And, you know, again, they're two top people so far in a party that's about the people, about diversity, about color, about females. Are two guys more than 75 years of age who are white?
I think the advantage goes to Mayor Pete, to be honest.
I think he'll do very well. He's very eloquent. He comes across as more of a roll the sleeves up, get things done. And that's something that Mr. O'Rourke from Texas has not done well.
Sure.
I don't know where his candidacy is going. Again, you see where I'm going, workhorse versus show horse, right?
Right.
We've had a lot of flash and dazzle and reality show, but if you're going to vote for somebody other than the president, it's going to be somebody wearing a D who's just like him, I don't think. It's going to be somebody remarkably different because you want something remarkably different. And that could be a Buttigieg. It could very well be. Or as you say, Mayor Pete, because you just don't ever want to take a chance at the last name.
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, right.
All right. On that note, Dave Ackerley, morning show host, 1320 WILS in Lansing. Glad to have him on the on WPHM again. We're going to make this a regular thing, Dave, and I'll be glad to come back on your show as well.
Absolutely.
Hey,
we'll do it again.
All right.
And you still owe me chicken in the rough.
All right. I'll see you next time. Thanks again for joining us. Dave Ackerley, Caleb Infrapol on 1380 WPHM.